to the Kroger 583 podcast. I'm your host and CSM, Tim Robinette.
And I'm Duncan Fettner.
This week we'll be discussing Period 4 ELMS results, an ELMS worksheet we're putting together for our district manager, and we'll also be discussing one of the adventures of the Kroger Justice League.
That's right, Tim. Sorry, everybody, that we haven't... This is the first episode in a long time, but...
Yeah, I think last episode we discussed being more consistent, but, you know...
Yeah.
I just got lazy for a while there.
Yeah, school stuff. That's right. My excuse. Well, let's jump into some ELMS.
It's time for our weekly ELMS recap with CSM, Tim Robinette, Kroger Southwest, most efficient cashier, Duncan Fett.
Alright, so period 4 ELMS results, 585 came in at number 1 with a 118.7, 583 was close behind with a 114.7, and store 522 came in 3rd with a 108.1.
One thing I've noticed on this sheet is that they still have not changed the district numbers for the stores with all the redistricting that's gone on in the Southwest Division. Like, you'll notice that 585 in our store, 583, are still listed as being in Zone 7, even though we are now, in fact, a part of Zone 11. So that's kind of perplexing, but yeah. Whatever, it's not a big deal.
Yeah, I guess not. I initially thought that it was because we had changed districts at the beginning of Period 4, but looking back on some previous results, it doesn't look like... We changed during period 4, it was sometime during period 3. It may just be kind of a layover in the ELMS program or something, I don't know.
Yeah, we should be getting period 5 results in the next couple of weeks, so we'll be able to see if they fix that up. But we also got in the top 25 cashiers for the last period. Top 5, we've got Duncan, Brandon, Nick, Jeremy, and Dylan, all familiar faces in the top 5. We've got Dylan Milbury from 463, bringing in 42.3 items per minute, with an average of only 12.5 items per customer. So that's a pretty impressive feat, Dylan. I've seen him check, so
yeah,
it's like... lightning. From our store, 583, this is me and Tim do the podcast, so we're allowed to give a little extra kudos to our own people. We've got Jeremy Scroggs, Austin Cross at 122.4. he's incredibly consistent. Then we have anybody else? I don't even see anybody else. It was only...
Yeah, no one else from our store. Just you, Jeremy, and Austin, looks like.
Just didn't have enough earned hours this period.
Alright, so it's time for Muzak Madness. My choice this week is a song by the Silver Jews called Suffering Jukebox.
Suffering jukebox. just make it seem true to you. But money lights your world up. You're trapped, what can you do? You got Tennessee tendencies and chemical dependencies. You make the same old jokes and malaprops on cue.
Summer and jukebox, such a sad machine. You're often like what other people need. Harshly damnation and guilt make you wonder why you were even built. Suffer and jukebox.
Okay, so this week we'll be discussing this Elms worksheet that we're going to be putting together for our district manager, Terry Allen. A couple days ago, Ms. Cates came up to me and told me that Terry had actually wanted me and some of my cashiers to put together a worksheet of some Elms productivity tips and tricks to kind of help out some of the stores that are struggling in our district. I kind of noticed that a lot of the stores in District 11 are having a lot of trouble with their Elm scores. So I guess Terry took it upon himself. I'm not sure if any of the other stores have been asked to do this. The way Janet described it to me, she made it sound like he had chosen like our store to put this together. So felt kind of honored about that, that he would look at me and my cashiers in such a way that he would think that we could help the other stores out in some way.
Loving tenderness.
Right.
Loving ring tenderness.
Exactly. So I was just trying to think of some things that we could add to this list. I think, Duncan, you had suggested maybe kind of a layout that we could use for it.
Yeah, what I was thinking is that we could have the worksheet divided into three main segments. One would be before the order, two would be during the order, and three, end of the order, because those are obviously the three main time frames of the order that are crucial to the execution of an effective checkout, I guess. Other than that, Tim and I haven't really sat down and written anything down yet, so we should probably get on that pretty soon. But if any of y'all listening have any suggestions for tips that you do at the register that you'd like to share with us, please let us know, and we will try our best to include those in the worksheet, because it takes a team to meet a goal or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I started when I was thinking about different points that we could add to the worksheet. It's kind of hard to come up with new ones, because pretty much everything that we could discuss about Elms has been talked about before. I think we're just going to go with kind of a different format and kind of explain things in a little bit more detail than what most other worksheets do.
Another project that Tim and I would love to do at some point would be to make a training video, just like a visual representation of the worksheet that we're supposed to be making. Videos are fun and a great way to learn, So we definitely have motivation to create one of these, but unfortunately we do not have the necessary equipment for such an undertaking. So if anybody in the DFW area, just like immediate DFW area, I didn't even need to say that, has like crazy video editing skills, or more importantly, like a really good microphone that we could use, please let us know, because right now we're capable of making like a terrible, crappy video, but nobody would want to watch that, and it wouldn't be very informative or educational. So, hit us up.
Yeah.
Kroger Justice League.
Okay, this week we kind of have a special segment that we like to call Kroger Justice League. One thing you should know about 583 is that a lot of our employees really relish in capturing thieves and criminals in the act and bringing justice to the world.
Justice to the world.
Serving up a heaping helping of Kroger justice.
Mm.
I like some of that. Anyways, we're always trying to catch the kids that come in and do beer runs and people trying to shortchange us and that kind of stuff.
And that drunk guy a couple weeks ago that just stumbled around everywhere.
Yeah, that guy too. But this past Saturday, Duncan had an amazing story, and he's going to share that with us today. So Duncan, last Saturday you were working and?
Well, I came into work a little disappointed because one of the local high schools that had their prom on Friday night, and I was there late expecting to be able to throw down the hammer of Kroger Justice on some unsuspecting beer runner. But unfortunately there weren't any, so I was a little disappointed, and I was there till 11 on Saturday night, so I was keeping my fingers crossed that somebody might come in later and give us something to do. It was like 7:30-ish. I was at my register. It was moderately busy, I guess. It had been raining. So everybody, y'all know how your stores feel like when it's raining or storming or whatever, just that atmosphere. So we had that going on. And I heard the alarm go off at the door. Normally that's not really a big deal. I just like look up and it's usually somebody I had just checked out with their stake that didn't deactivate, or a U-scan person with their batteries setting it off. So, but I didn't see anybody standing there looking bewildered or just like walking back and forth setting it off somewhere. So I went over there to check it out, and I asked a customer that had been by the door if he had seen anything, and he said he saw a guy go out the door with a full cart of groceries. And I had seen out of the corner of my eye somebody moving a lot faster than they needed to be moving in a grocery store. So I went out to the lot to check it out, and I saw this guy at his car, and he had a cart full of baby formula, various cereals, and diapers, and none of it was in bags. So I went over and I asked to see his receipt, but that's if you've ever been in that situation, you know how it's kind of an awkward thing to do without having to ask for proof of purchase without sounding accusatory. Mm-hmm. So that was a little weird for me. And he made a big show of looking for it. He was like, oh, I've got it. I was like, well, show it to me. And he failed to produce the receipt. So I was like, "Well, do you think you left it at the register?" He was like, "Yeah, I left it at the register. That's what's up," or something. He didn't talk like he'd been to school. And so I brought him back in because we were going to go find the receipt that I knew he didn't have. But what I had failed to realize was that somebody else was in the car, in the driver's seat. So he had already loaded everything into the car while we went in. And we walked in, and he made a phone call as soon as we made it through the door and immediately turned around and walked out. And I was like, yeah, he didn't have it. And I saw Tim, and what did I do? Did I like tell you to come or whatever?
I think Michelle had saw
Yeah,
you.
Michelle was watching at the door.
Mm-hmm. And then Michelle came over and told me that we may have a situation on our hands. So I come out of the service center and go to the front door, and I see Duncan and another guy. I didn't know who at the time, but not an employee. But Duncan and this guy were over between where I usually park at the end of the parking lot and the gas station that we have at the corner, the Chevron there. And Duncan was motioning me to follow him, so I kind of picked up the pace a little bit. By the time I actually got over to Duncan, the guy that Duncan was chasing at the time had pretty much taken into a full run. Had started into a full run. It was kind of humorous because he had his sandals in his hand while he was running. So I just kept up with Duncan and this guy, and I stopped once we got to Highland Village Road, which is the street that runs parallel to our store. Because there were a couple lanes of traffic, but Duncan kept in pursuit, and I kind of stood at the edge of the curb for a minute and just watched Duncan chase this guy around a couple of buildings while he was on his phone. So at that point, I ran back inside to tell my store director that we had a situation on our hands. By the time I came back out, Duncan was standing over by the gas station with the police officer and the suspect in custody. How did it get to that point from when I left to being in custody?
Okay, we were together until he ran across the street, but when I ran across the street, that was the weirdest thing. That was seriously the most bizarre situation I've ever been in. We had traffic stop in going both directions so we could cross the street. I was on the phone with 911. He was on the phone with the driver of the car. And, I just want to know how weird it looked to see, like, some kid in a Kroger shirt chasing a barefoot guy holding his shoes across a busy road at a busy time of day. We ran around the parking lot of the restaurant across the street. Then we ran through the circular drive of the cheerleading gym in that shopping center, and we came back up through the middle, and I ran around another building with him, and then he got too tired or something, and I didn't know what he was going to do, so he just, came back with me or to the gas station, or I don't know, maybe I was following him, but we both, walked together and just didn't say anything, and I saw the police officer, and I flagged her down and brought him over. First thing the guy does, she gets out of the car, he points at me and goes, "This f**k's accusing me of shit I didn't even did." I had no response to that, so...
Right.
Yeah. And then, at that point, he told the police officer to shut up when she was questioning him. He told so many blatant lies. I was getting so angry. The getaway car was a silver Corolla. He was describing a black Yaris. And he said he didn't know what the situation was. He said he didn't know why he was out of breath and holding his shoes. And he had the audacity to make a phone call in the middle of his questioning And then when the officer told him to get off, he like waved a finger in her face and she had to slap the phone out of his hands. But basically the rest of the story goes that, well, they found the car that had all the merchandise in the back of it, and they brought her.
This is just like a few minutes later. This was all pretty quick.
Yeah, but like in the back, oh yeah, this is the best part. Like in the background of like, I was standing by the car, she was talking to the guy, and I was just like standing there waiting for her to talk to me. You could see the Corolla going back and forth on the road behind us, getting followed by a police car. It was pretty funny. But and like the whole time I kind of felt bad for him since he was stealing like baby food and stuff, but then it turns out that he just sells it. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I was none too pleased with that. He ended up taking I don't know how many cans of Similac, at least 20 of them. Two boxes of Apple Jacks, a box of Pop-Tarts, one big box of Pampers, and some Reese's Puffs. Oh yeah, y'all can see the picture of it. Like, there's a picture of me on the Pot of Apple website.
Yeah, it's gonna be the album art for this week. So definitely check that out.
Oh yeah, the total. Oh yeah, and here's the value of all the goods was $638.10. So it's a little more significant than a beer run or mm-hmm. time that like biker dude stole the cell phone.
Right. Well, I was surprised. It's only a Class A misdemeanor. Between $600 and $1,000 is only a Class A misdemeanor, not a felony.
Yeah, it's a Class A misdemeanor with the Highland Village Police Department. So, and I know that our store is not the only store that crime affects, and I know that many other Kroger employees also have that, like, to get that feeling of bringing justice to the workplace, I guess. So if you, too, would like to be part of the Kroger Justice League, you can email your stories of Kroger Justice and or how you or anybody at your store did something like that. Beer runs, shortchange artists, crazy Similac thieves, just anything like that. Murder, extortion, torture, reason. Yeah. So if we get enough people to send in their tales of lawlessness, we're gonna try to get a new segment of the show called the Kroger Justice League, and I'm sure you'd all want to hear that. So please send those stories in. You can email us at Kroger583podcast@gmail.com, or you can call Tim or I at work, and if you work at Kroger, you can get our store's number. Another thing relevant to Facebook that is new for Kroger is the Kroger Southwest page. Yeah. Martha Freitas, I'm very sorry if I'm butchering that or mispronouncing it even a little bit, has taken the liberty to create a Facebook page for Kroger Southwest employees. You should definitely check it out because it's awesome. There's also a link there to the new Kroger Southwest website where you can find more wonderful Kroger information. So please check that out. It's time for round two of Muzak Madness, and I did a lot of thinking about the song that I chose, just something that would really be something different for the customers that they should definitely play over Muzak, and that song is by Lil Jon and the East Side Boys. That obviously was not Lil Jon and the East Side Boys. That was everybody's favorite Briton, Rick Astley, with Everybody Knows That Song. They probably already play it in Kroger. I've just never heard it in our store. So, but that's a song that needs to be played every now and then.
All right, so it's time for another round of Kroger trivia. On the last episode, we asked, which item did Barney Kroger originally sell? It turns out there was some controversy and discrepancy between the actual answers. Duncan and I initially thought that it was coffee because we had seen it on a few different Kroger products way back when. But according to the internet, it says tea was the original item that Mr. Kroger sold. But so we had a couple people answer with both tea and coffee. So we're accepting both of those answers. See, we got Jordan Glenn, who answered both coffee and tea, multiple guesses.
I would like to point out that Jordan had originally thought that Kroger started out as a lemonade stand, and as awesome as that would have been, sorry, bud, no.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And who else got the answer right?
Friend Matt Cartel from Cincinnati was hit that nail on the head with his answer of tea. And I'm going to go ahead and trust Matt on that. He grew up with Kroger. He lives in the birthplace of the store. So I think for now we're just going to go ahead and say tea.
So our Kroger trivia question for this week is, which alcoholic beverage is only distributed and sold at Kroger stores? If you know the answer, please email us at Kroger583podcast@gmail.com. Okay, so that brings us to our last segment of Odd Customers and Strange Happenings at Kroger 583. I had a couple weird customers this past week, but one stands out to me in particular. So I was running floors a couple days ago, and I noticed these two farmer-looking people, I guess is how you could describe them. They were both wearing overalls and had hats on, with plaid shirts underneath. They walked up to the service center with what looked like half a cow wrapped up in Kroger plastic bags. I went over to see what the problem was, and apparently they had purchased 30 or 40 pounds of some kind of cow meat and had specifically asked our butcher to slice it to half an inch. He proceeded to show me that he had actually, in fact, cut it closer to a quarter of an inch as he's holding the cow there with the blood dripping all over the counter. I told him, well, let me go ahead and call the meat market to see what we can do for you. So I called Jose, and Jose said, no, we're not going to replace it. They could buy some more, but I'm not taking a refund on it. So I was like, oh, okay. At that point, they had to go do some shopping, so I called Marty over, and Marty took care of the situation. It was just kind of funny to see a couple of farmers come in with a dead cow that they bought from a grocery store. Figured they would have slaughtered it themselves or something.
Yeah, those two lost some serious farmer cred for doing that. Like you said, farmer points going way down. Do raise your own cattle.
Right.
But, farm.
Yeah, Marty ended up taking care of them. So it has a happy ending. They got the steak that they wanted. They were actually making beef jerky, I think, is what the guy told me. So he needed to
slap each other with it.
Oh, man. And the cow that they originally brought in, they ground up into some, I guess, ground beef. Is what
found a fine paste.
Oh, man. <It's> so gross. Oh, but yeah, so that's my story. Not that great, but just a little on the weird side.
It was indeed very weird.
So did you have any strange customers this week, Duncan?
Not real. Well, aside from my Similac friend, I did have this one older lady come in, and she had a some kind of accent, like Irish or Scottish or something. I'm not going to attempt to replicate that speech pattern because I would undoubtedly fail miserably in that endeavor. But she had quite a distinctive accent. She came through my line, and I was having a hard time understanding her. And I thought that she said, first of all, she looked me in the eye, like, not normal customer cashier eye contact, but like weird eye contact. Uh-huh. And I thought she said that I reminded her of her father, but I wasn't quite sure if that's what she had said. So I did the generic oh, so because I didn't know what was going on. She said it again, and I heard her a little more clearly this time. Apparently I reminded her of her grandfather who had the same name as I did, and I was like, oh, okay, cool. And I thought it was over, and then I checked her groceries, and as I handed her receipt, she kind of like I moved forward to give her the receipt, and she kind of mirrored me, and she leaned forward into me and gave me this really awkward kind of half hug thing across the register while I was like trying to hand her a receipt. And she had like her eyes, she had like teared up, and she goes, again, I'm not doing the accent, Duncan, you've made this old lady very, very happy. Like, I mean, it's cool that I could remind her of her grandfather or whatever, but that was borderline creepy.
Man.
That was pretty memorable.
Yeah, it sounds like that lady was pretty weird. But what we'd like to also do is if you guys out there have any odd or strange customer stories that you would like to share, go ahead and email those to us at Kroger583podcast@gmail.com, and we'll do our best to go through and find the good ones, and we'll share those with you next week. All right, so I guess that about wraps it up for another Kroger583 podcast.
And hopefully we won't take another month and a half to do another one. Our schedules are clearing out now, so you'll be hearing from us again soon.
All right, well, I'm Tim Robinette.
And I'm Duncan Fettner. Thank you for Kroger-ing.
I'm all tuned in, I see all the programs, I save coupons for packets of tea. I've got my giant hit discotheque album, I empty a bottle, I feel a bit free. Kids in the halls and the pipes in the walls make me noises for company. Long distance callers make long distance calls, and the silence makes me lonely. I'm lost in the supermarket, I can no longer shop happily. I came in here for the special offer, a guaranteed personality. It's not here.
Or have us share on the podcast. Go ahead and email those us. Whoa. What the f*** did I just say? Wow.